welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Running the Point with Jason Carey on the ATL Podcast Network, the intelligent podcast. Running the Point with Jason Carey, the intelligent podcast. Before we get started, I always like to say the grace for all the people that tend to listen to me. You know what the grace is. The grace is I want to thank you for listening to us. We're out here competing for ears with so many podcasts, so much noise online right now, and we're competing for ears. You take the time to listen to me, and I appreciate that. So this series, you know, how does this series is going? People that I believe you should know. People I want you to know. And if they just happen to be black, that's my side card. They just happen to be black. But they're people in general. They are just people I think you should know. And this gentleman that I have on has a lot going on. Does a lot. So we're going to go ahead and get into this conversation. I want to introduce everybody to Christian Smith, man. Christian Smith, what's up, man? How you doing this morning?
Jason, I'm good, man. Thank you so much for having me be a part of this. I'm honored.
Man, I appreciate it. For you guys, I don't know, Christian, I've been trying to get Christian on the show probably for, this is season four. We've been trying to lock down our schedules and get it done probably for three seasons. I want to say
three seasons.
He was supposed to be on season two or three. I can't remember, but it's been a minute, and it takes the COVID-19 pandemic for us to sit down, which we'll talk about a little bit, how you handling this, Christian.
Sure.
Well, during this time we made the time to sit down and get on online. So let's get right into it. I got to tell you something. I met you when I was, you know, anybody that knows me to listen to the show, I like to get freshly dipped. I'm gonna be suited and booted because this is part of the brand. So I was walking through Perimeter Mall, and there's a clothing store in there for suits and accessories. I walk in, and it's this gentleman in there. Well-dressed, large fella. Well-dressed. He's a large guy. You like, this guy play ball. Why is he in here in this store in this tailored suit right now? He had on his championship ring, football ring. And this is the other thing, ladies and gentlemen. He looks to me exactly like Cam Newton. I like, that's got to be Cam Newton's brother. It's got to be. It's no other. And I start Googling. I'm like, man, he got to be his brother. And ironically, later on, you know, I start working with Cam Newton family and his fellowship and all that, which is funny. But I'm looking at this guy. And Christian, I'm going to tell you, you don't know this. Christian doesn't know this. I came into that store several times after that. And I'm like, yo, it's somewhere. And I don't know how to ask, bro. But he played ball and he looked like this guy. Whatever, man. I'm gonna let it go. At some point, we're gonna actually talk. And that's after I bought the pocket rounds, which I love the pocket rounds. You guys, you've seen me wear them before. But man, for real, I want to tell you that I never told you that. But for the longest time, I swear I thought you was Cam Newton's brother. I was convinced, or cousin, or something. So how often do you get?
Man,
that?
Listen, at least once a week. Well, before they close outside, I would get it once a week. But for the past month, nobody said it. Anybody seen me?
You've gotten a break from it. You've gotten a break. That's crazy. Like, it's uncanny. And y'all not related at all.
At all. Not related at all. I actually had one guy start a conversation with me because he thought I was Cam's brother. So we met in the cigar lounge. He just starts talking to me. And I'm like, this dude is talking like he's real familiar with me, but I have no idea who he is. And then at one point in the conversation, he was like, yeah, you know, because that thing with your brother. And I was like, you know my brother? He was like, yeah, you know, Cam. I was like, nah, Cam, that's not my brother.
What? Had a whole conversation, egg on his face. Egg on his face out of that. That's not good. That's not good. Well, yeah, man. For the longest time, I was convinced. Didn't I was like, I don't know him that well to talk to him about it, but I thought that for the longest time. But then we talked, eventually talked, and I told you I wanted to get you on once I bought the Pocket Round. I support Us. You know, I'm a big fan of Us. And when I say Us, I mean brothers, black brothers and sisters. I support you guys. I came back. I bought the Pocket Round strictly because you told me you designed it. It was in the store, ladies and gentlemen. It was in the store on display. And it was, he said, nah, that's mine. I designed that. I said, wait, this is yours in this store? He said, yeah. Bruh, I didn't necessarily want a Pocket Round that day. I purely bought it because you told me it was designed by you and was your company.
Yes, sir. 100%. Yes, sir.
And I came back and bought more. 100%. I don't live over there. I drove over there to buy those because they were made by you. I want to tell you that 100%. I was not in there to buy a Pocket Round. That was the last thing I was there for. In fact, I hadn't worn pocket squares up until then for a while. That's real.
Wow.
That's real, man. So, but I believe that is something we need to do anyway. Whether you need it or not, people don't know how invaluable a single purchase and telling people about it, a share, those things, how important that stuff is to entrepreneurs and artists. They just don't know. And coming from the artist field, I know how important it is, but it's also important to me to support Us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed. So talk about that, man. So you're an ex-football player. Where did you play?
I played offensive line at Alabama A&M University.
Come on.
Normal's Hill, Huntsville, Alabama. So that's where I did my undergrad, played football there, and then I stopped playing football after college. I didn't pursue the NFL or anything like that.
HBCU love. I went to A&T. So shout out to all HBCUs. It's one love.
All HBCUs. All of them.
All of them, man. One love. You say you didn't pursue it. So, because I imagine you had an opportunity. Is something you just weren't interested in? And I'm not going to say that.
I'm a realist. Uh-huh. So I was an above average college football player, but wasn't incredibly tall. You know, I'm at about 6'2". That's about the cutoff for offensive linemen. I don't have really long arms and I don't have really big hands. And my speed is average. So I was like, let me just go on ahead and finish up this degree that I'm working on and build my money slow. And that's just the route that I decided to take. And, you know, I feel like it has served me well thus far.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that part because this is the other reason. Football players are notoriously bad dressers. Notoriously terrible dressers. Out of all sports, football players tend to be the worst, especially the linemen. And
you don't talk about the linemen like that, man.
It's just the realist. It's just true. I am a ball player, and I'm an athlete, and I've been in all the locker rooms, and I also know the people off the field. And notoriously terrible dressers are football players, and you are the polar opposite. Opposite of that, you started to design clothing. So what made you, you know, what drove you, and how did you get into wanting to dress nice and look nice and then getting into design?
I mean, it's just always a personal passion to the extent that I didn't even see it as something I could do professionally till I was well into adulthood. I'm a preacher's kid. You know, my dad, Baptist preacher, and you know, he makes me look like a shrimp. You know, he passed away in 2010, but I'm 6'2". My dad was 6'7".
For real?
He wasn't. Wow. Yeah, and he wasn't the tallest of his siblings. So I saw, you know, my dad dress well for my life, and he was my hero. So it kind of got me into wanting to look nice. You know, my dad took me with him to this custom shop to pick out his custom shirts one time, and I got a chance to see that whole experience. So it was something I was familiar with, and I would even help some of my teammates in college, like put stuff together for special occasions and banquets, but that was just something I did because, like, oh, you know, it's something to do and I don't mind helping people out. But then it got serious when I was making a decision to go to seminary in 2013. So I had already done my bachelor's and my MBA at Alabama A&M. At this point, I'm living in Atlanta, working in banking. I feel compelled to go to seminary to study. The only way I could work it out, though, was to be a full-time student and leave my corporate job. So I started thinking to myself, all right, so now what am I going to do? And I've always been a fan of the pocket square. It's my favorite accessory.
Okay.
And around this time, I was going to stores, couldn't find the stuff that really resonated with me. So I would just go to the fabric stores and look through all the textiles and pick out the patterns that I like. I'd buy like a quarter yard of it, cut it out, put it in my pocket. Well, my mom noticed I was doing that and said, why don't you let me finish off the edges for you and you'll have a real pocket square instead of a piece of scrap fabric in your pocket. And I was like, oh yeah. So mom made me one pocket square and I was like, oh, we got to sell these. And that was it, man. I said, we got to sell these. And then we just figured it out. So 2013, we started selling pocket squares and pocket rounds and lapel pins, doing some wardrobe consulting. And then we just expanded into the full service firm that we have now, where we do everything from the neck down, custom suits, shirts, shoes, belts, we do bracelets, cufflinks, like everything you need. We're like haberdashery.
Wow.
And we do women's custom clothing as well.
You said women's too?
Yes, sir.
Wow. I did not know you did women's. But you, I mean, let's give it up for one black fathers. Number two, mama knows best. Because it's ironic that you said that, because in a previous episode, you guys listened two episodes ago when I was talking to Jameson from the Experience Brokers, him talking about dressing, myself talking about dressing, and then you, all of us talk about how our fathers had an impact, what we saw from our fathers, which cannot be minimized at all, how important dads, our fathers are and have been in our lives, and I hope our fathers know that. and knew that because the long-term effects of it, the long-term effect, the impact, because now you impact other people. You got kids as well?
Right. No kids of my own.
No kids of your
Not
own?
Not yet.
Okay. So you impact, but you just don't know who you impact, your coworkers, your peers, the people that you talk to. You impact them just by the way you look, and that's just a reflection of dad. Like, dad lives forever. And so that's how I feel. My pops will live forever through me, through the things that other people see, man. So that's awesome. That's incredible.
I feel the same way, brother. I feel the same way about my dad. Absolutely.
So now you're doing full service pocket rounds, because you said we don't do pocket squares. They're yours are round. Was that something you went after, like just want to do something different, or was like kind of by mistake, like, oh, this is cool? Why did you go to
I was actually talking to a client of mine who was buying some pocket squares from me before we started making pocket rounds. And he said, hey, have you ever seen them like in a circular shape? I said, nah, I haven't seen that. He's like, yeah, I saw somebody made something like that. I said, well, I'm sure we can make something like that too. So we started experimenting, made our first pocket round. And, you know, it's a novelty item, but it's actually a lot easier to fold than a pocket square. A lot of guys don't wear squares because they don't know what to do with them. And they just feel like, you know, a task.
It is.
But the round.
I agree.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
Feels like a task. Speaking of that, do you do tutorials on folding pocket squares on your website or anywhere? Can somebody find out how, outside of going to YouTube? Of course, you do everything on YouTube, but is there a way for them to learn from you?
I usually have shown people how to do the pocket round in person. Mm-hmm. I do need to create a tutorial because, I mean, it's so easy. And there's so many different ways you can utilize it.
I think you should do that, sir.
So, yeah, I should do something. I made an internal video for the company that was carrying the pocket rounds, mm-hmm. because it was a novel item to them as well. So I sent them like a 15-second video. Like, here's how you fold a pocket round. Boom, boom, you're done. Uh-huh. And, you know, so... that's really how simple it is.
Yeah,
but no, I don't take credit for creating the pocket round. That's not my original creation. It's just something that we experimented with and figured out how to do it well. And then my gift is for identifying and sourcing fabrics. So I have a good eye for what fabrics will work well as certain accessories. So finding fabrics for pocket squares and pocket rounds, finding fabrics for neckties and bow ties, that's something where I excel.
Now
so that helps us as well.
I gotta step it up then. I gotta get a tie and a full suit from you. That has always been the plan, to get just the whole thing from neck down from you at some point. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna drop it all at one time, man. I mean, you know, we gotta work it out. No, no, we're gonna work that out. I'm gonna get everything.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Yeah, man. So you said you had a talent for finding the fabric, which I agree, because there's always, it's a little different nuances to the fabric and the design that I like. Just talking about the pocket rounds themselves. So so that's coming from you. That's good to know. That's good to know. What is the name of the company? We keep talking about the company. We keep talking about these designs. For the people that don't know, what's the name?
Yeah, the name of the company is P Squared Custom Clothier.
P Squared
comes, P as in pocket square.
Ah.
Our flagship item was a reversible pocket square. That's how we got started. So we named the company after that first reversible pocket square that we made.
Okay.
And it's just grown from there.
Okay. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had no clue why it was called P Square. I was like, this name doesn't start with that. Maybe it's his middle name, but maybe it's a family name. I didn't know. Nah. I guess I should have known it was pocket square. So that's hard.
Yep.
That's hard.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So you have... I didn't want to gloss over it. You went to seminary because you're also, for the people that don't know, you're also a pastor, which that
right.
I learned from Instagram later on that you were a pastor.
Right, okay.
I was like, wait, he's a pastor too? So how, you said you were a preacher's kid, so I guess that's how you end up going that way. You got some influence to go that way. How long, you have a church?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I started the church in 2018. We'll turn 2 years old in August.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So what's called the faith community.
So I met you in 17, I think. I think it's been that long. So
before, yeah,
you
I
didn't
think
have
so.
Yeah, I don't think you didn't have the church when you didn't have the church when we met. And that's why I didn't know you were a pastor. Then it popped up. I was like, how you just become a pastor? So you, I didn't know you had already been doing it. You know, you went to school for it and everything. That was just a new thing that just popped in. I was like, oh, all right. Now you got another feather in his hat. So, okay. So you started 2018. I'm sorry. It was 2018. Go back. What's the name of the church again?
The Faith Community.
Okay. All right.
So we're on Instagram and Facebook as TFCATL, and our website is thefaithcommunity.org.
Awesome. So what, speaking of church, there's been a big thing. I think it was on CNN last night. There was a pastor here in Richmond, Virginia. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I'm actually in Virginia right
okay.
now. but he went on and had service after a lot of the shutdown due to COVID-19, and he made a big statement from the pulpit about God has him and had him covered, and he ended up passing away from the coronavirus. And so, because he continued to have church. And so there's a big, you know, really big story, national story about how that went down. How has this moment affected you, both businesses, really, from your ministry to P Squared? How has this affected you, and how are you handling it?
That's a great question, and it has affected my two organizations drastically different. So, of course, people aren't going outside, so there isn't very much of a demand for custom clothing right now. Mm-hmm. So that has slowed down for pretty much anybody in our industry.
Yeah,
you know, so the task right now is to make sure we fulfill the orders that were placed prior to the pandemic, take care of our clients, and just give our clients, you know, something to keep them engaged. And generally, in times of crisis, that's when your creativity, you know, becomes much more relevant and more necessary. So we created a lookbook for the spring and the summer. The first time we had done a lookbook, so it was completely digital. It's on our website. We posted it on social media, and it just shows some of our styling expertise and the range of fabrics that we offer. So
that's awesome.
For our clients and prospects who like to see, you know, different looks, it gives them something to browse while we're in this downtime, and hopefully gives them some ideas for things they'd like to add to their wardrobe as we start to ease some of these restrictions, which I'm not in any rush to ease. Let me say that right now.
Yeah. Like, not at the expense of health. Not at the expense
right,
of health.
Right. Yeah, not at all.
Outside is going to open up, though. Y'all better know that. Everybody, y'all better know that outside is going to open up again. So you might want to look at that lookbook and get fresh. You don't want to come out jagged. You're not going to look right. You don't want to come out
That's
jagged.
Right.
Be prepared. But anyway, can't carry on. I'm sorry.
Right. Because if you wait until the outside opens back up before you put in your order, then, you know, you're going to miss all the outside time waiting on the order to come in.
Yeah.
So you might as well go ahead and do it now.
The season going to change by the time they're like, I ordered a summer suit. It's fall. No.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's how it's affected P Squared as a business. But, you know, we're still moving forward and doing what we can.
Kudos to you guys.
Also
for that,
trying
man.
To make the Yeah, I appreciate it. And then trying to, you know, make the right moves to secure whatever stimulus assistance that we can, because mm-hmm. that money is out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of accessing it and finding it. And I think especially a lot of black business owners need to be more aware of those types of opportunities. When the government is giving away money, we need to jump on it.
Got it. Yeah, because that's that has always been the challenge for us, is because innovation, we're born and bred innovation. I believe I feel like because we've always had to be creative to obtain or to excel, not to just succeed, mm-hmm. but to excel. We always had to do that, and I think the challenge has always been access to the information, access to the resources. So I agree that we got to go hard after those resources, because they make those hoops challenging. And I say they, nameless and faceless individuals, but the system is, they make it challenging on purpose. It can't be easy, because then everybody could get it, I guess. But I think they make it even more challenging to make sure we don't find that information. Or those that they deem unworthy of it, I guess. So, continue. I had some. Yeah. I had another question, but and I'll go back to that. Continue saying how it's affecting both your organizations, because this time is definitely for creativity and innovation. This has been. It's highlighted who's creative and who just wants, who sits on their hands. That's what I believe is highlighted thus far. But how has it affected the church?
Again, it has caused us to be more creative. I'm very proud of my church, though. We're a disruptive ministry. That is the best way I can explain it.
Disruptive ministry. Okay.
Yeah, disruptive is the word that would describe our ministry. As a matter of fact, if you want to get more information about the faith community, you can text disruptive to 31996. Like, we disrupt the status quo of what people expect from religion. So we have we have five keys to our ministry. Starts with greatest commandment theology, which is a strand of theology I've curated and we practice as a community, which is based on Jesus's words that the greatest commandment in all of the law is to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says everything hinges on those two directives. So it's really one commandment with two parts, rather than it being two separate commandments. So you can't love God fully if you don't do it through the lens of loving your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And you can't love your neighbor fully if you don't do it through the lens of how you love yourself. And a lot of people in religious spaces forget that love yourself component, because it has become so stigmatized where if somebody chooses to love themselves, it's seen as being self-centered or self-absorbed. But there's a clear line of demarcation between those two.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're built on great commandment theology, anti-racism, women's equity, LGBTQ inclusion, and something we call Bible criticism. And Bible criticism is something that we practice because we take the Bible very serious, and anything you take serious, you need to approach critically.
Thanks.
So it's very disruptive because people aren't accustomed to being able to come into a church and question the Bible and say, that doesn't make sense, I don't agree with that, you know, what was God trying to say here, or was this even God, or was it just the writer who was putting their own spin on it? So we're a disruptive ministry in that way, and we started from day one trying to figure out, how do we not just meet the needs of people in the building, but how can we connect to people online? And we had limited resources, so we did what we could with what we had, but it put us in a position to where we didn't have a major transition to technology once COVID-19 hit. I mean, this weekend will be our fifth weekend in a row just gathering virtually.
Because you were already here. Welcome to the internet, everybody. But you were already you were already here. I think that's very, very smart. But carry on, because I want to speak to that being prepared for that. But go ahead.
Yeah. We just had to be prepared for whatever might happen. So what's come out of this is we've actually had more people engage our ministry since COVID-19. And like, we've had also put more content online, because I have a small church, but when I say it's packed with so much talent, it's ridiculous. I've never seen a church this size. I've been a part of churches every size, right? I've been a part of churches that see 10,000 people a week. I've been a part of churches that see 100 people a week, you know, but I've never seen a church that has this much talent crammed into it. So we have a daily series called Daily Bread that we're doing on Facebook Live. And every day is somebody different, whether they're doing a brief message, a therapeutic presentation. We got something called Corona Cookbook, where we share recipes, meditation, all types of stuff. And it's just different people from my ministry that do it every day. So I believe this situation is actually bringing out the best in the faith community.
That's hard. There are some, especially our churches, that are having a harder time turning that curb, especially because we have a lot of older churches. We have some churches that are, say, traditional churches that have been doing it this way for 100 years, you know, and take pride in that, that longevity. But this quick change, as the world changed, there was no preparation for it. So I hope that some of our so all the talent that you guys have and some of these other churches have on the technology side, I hope we're reaching out and maybe helping some of these other churches. I think that would be good to bring up some of these older churches, and it could be an opportunity.
Yeah. And churches have to start thinking more about how to lead through change, because if you're going to lead through change, you can't be reactive. And I think a lot of churches right now are reacting to this because they weren't thinking with any type of forethought, any type of vision of, you know, what can we do to be in better position. So churches who are struggling the most right now just weren't being proactive. They weren't taking advantage of the tools that were available to all of us. You have pastors who a year ago were cursing Facebook as the devil, and now they're asking everybody to log on to their Facebook service because that's the only option that they have.
That's crazy, right? That's crazy.
Yes. So we got to be thinking about how we're going to move forward, not just in the time of crisis, but how can we be in the best position for whatever happens.
Yes. Yes. Have somebody in the organization is at least thinking through crisis management, maybe. But I think that's going to happen. I think, really, there's going to be some new positions open up for some of these companies, be it in the church or just in secular business. I think there's gonna, people going to change everything. They'll be like, you know what?
Oh, yeah.
We need crisis management. We need to be prepared for this, because it feels like even our government was a little asleep at the wheel for this. And we can get into that, but we won't.
Clearly.
We won't get into that. But you're talking about leading with change and starting with innovation, how you guys started with the technology first. I feel like there are still companies, because to me, and I'll take something so small, they still build restaurants and just any kind of other building. They build them and don't have chargers or outlets all around the room. It don't make sense. In 2020, you shouldn't build nothing new and don't have chargers standard. Like, phone chargers is like the thing. I feel like that is a small innovation that people miss. Like, they were so excited to put bar hooks up under the bar where you can hang your women can hang their purses and you can hang your jacket and stuff like that. But you haven't thought to now include the technology. Now I know there's a power drop at each station, but it makes more sense. So lead with change. Yeah. I like that. You said leading with change, right?
Yeah, like leading through change. Leading with change works as well, right?
Yeah.
We're in a position right now where everything is changing. Once COVID-19 is flattened, once we get it under control, that doesn't mean we're going to return back to the normal that we had prior to the pandemic.
How?
So the question is, how are we going to operate differently after the crisis? Because we can't go back to how things were prior to the crisis. Because a lot of churches, a lot of churches members are not going to return because they realized they can get their Jesus on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they were only going to the building out of fear and guilt anyway. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we coerce people into the building by guilting them and making them feel like if you don't come every Sunday, then you don't really love the Lord. Mm-hmm. You don't have a strong relationship with God. And now we can't come to the building. And people's relationship with God, their relationships are being strengthened. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of churches that are going to be very concerned about what will happen after the pandemic. Will everybody return? I think a lot of people will, and then a lot of people won't. So how are we going to continue to minister to those people who don't come back to the building after they open up outside?
Yeah, you're gonna have to continue some of these efforts that you have already put forward, because people have been conditioned. I think that's going to happen across the board, man, that this change, people are going to change. A lot of eyes have opened up. Be like, wait, why do I have to go to work 5 days a week? You said that I couldn't work from home. Now you created this whole work from home. All of a sudden, you got a laptop and a VPN. You got all these resources. You told me I couldn't do it.
Yep.
You know, school, same thing. It's like, why do I have to bust my kid across town when you clearly can create an online situation because I work from home or something. You know, there's a lot of different things that I believe is going to change due to this. But if relationships being strengthened, I think that is also because there's no distractions. Some of the distractions of coming to the building and some of the excuses are eliminated, but some of the distractions, and it's just the word. It's you and your relationship. That's what you're dealing with online. I think that is what's causing some of that strengthening as well. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think times like this cause us to reflect a little bit more. Mm. They cause us to look inward in ways that we may not have given ourselves the time to in the past, because we're constantly running, we're constantly rushing, going through life in a restless manner. But right now, we're in a position where we got to sit down and really deal with ourselves and really deal with what is important to me while I have this time to sit here and reflect. And I think people are learning as they either engage or not engage their ministry online, and then also take the time to engage other ministries. They get an opportunity to see what works for me and what doesn't, what's important to me and what isn't important to me. Mm-hmm. And that again happens across the board, not just for churches, but businesses, organizations, civic groups, you name it, it's going to happen. I think in my clothing business, I'm going to have a lot more clients who are open to virtual appointments now.
Yeah.
Because most of my fabrics are saved digitally, and I can send my client different mock-ups of the stuff that they might want to purchase. Where prior to the pandemic, they probably want to set an appointment to come see me at my office.
Yeah.
Now, they might be open to say, hey, you know, I want to get this, this, and this. Can you send me a couple of looks? And I can just email it to them, text it to them, and then we can do the whole transaction virtually.
Yep.
So, a lot of things are going to change.
They're definitely. And to your point about you having more digital or virtual clients, I feel like even something like this, being able to do the podcast this way, radio shows, podcasts, TV shows, people are using their YouTube a little bit more. I think people are going to be more accessible too, because I've had some people that I tried to get to come to the studio, and just trying to get people to get our schedules all to match up is a challenge, number one. But number two, people are a little leery of coming somewhere they've never been, I guess, especially you get to certain levels and certain statuses. There are people that be like, nah, man, I ain't coming over there. I'm like, I ain't gonna do nothing to you, and I got an awesome reputation, and I'm highly visible. It's hard to not see me, so I ain't gonna. Right. I always tell somebody I'm the last person that's gonna do something to you, because I'm gonna get caught. You know, my name is dragged through the mud real fast. If I do something to you physically, or if I try to, I don't know, take advantage of you in any way, it doesn't make sense. But what's gonna happen? I do think that people will be more accessible on all levels. I think even for us on this level, podcasting and doing media, I think we'll have more access to even more celebrity clients. But speaking of podcasting, before we get out of here, I got to talk about your podcast. You have also a podcast, which I'm telling you guys, the people I talk to are very interesting and people that I believe you should know, and they're not hard to find once you know about them. So Holy Smokes is the name.
Yes, sir.
You are a lifestyle. I want to say that you are a lifestyle. And if you pay attention, the clothing, cigars, the being a pastor, you are a lifestyle. You're like, what I want to be? I want to be whatever he is. I want to be that. I think that's what people
don't
say.
Don't believe the hype.
People gonna say you are a lifestyle, man. But yeah, so Holy Smokes, tell us about the podcast a bit.
Yeah, Holy Smokes, Cigars and Spirituality. It's on all of your major podcast platforms. We had already scheduled to launch it in April, And then COVID-19 hit, and we actually pushed it up to March and did a special episode zero called Pandemic Proof Theology.
Wow.
That is currently available. The visual podcast is available exclusively on Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/TFCATL, that's where you can access full-length versions of the visual podcast and bonus content. But Holy Smokes is actually an extension of the faith community.
Okay.
We have something that we do called connection groups because, like I said, we're disruptive. And the people in our target market, and our target market consists of the unchurched, the underchurched, and the overchurched. And
say, a lot of times, say that again, man. That's a T-shirt. They need to hear that. Say that again.
So the unchurched, the underchurched, and the overchurched. So unchurched is pretty self-explanatory. You know, not being immersed in a church experience during the course of your life. Underchurched are people who are currently a part of a church but feel totally out of place. Like they've either evolved past the theology, they're only going out of force of habit. They don't feel like they have the freedom to ask the questions that are meaningful to them. They're underchurched. They feel out of place. And then the overchurched are people who are just over it. Like, I'm over church. I don't want to go back. I still love God, but I got a serious problem with the church. Mm. That is our target market.
Okay.
The stuff that we're doing is meaningful to people in these markets, but we discovered early on they're not too prone to coming to the church building. So we decided, let's take what we do and just put it out where people are already gathered. And cigars is one of my favorite activities. So I just combined cigars and spirituality. We call it Holy Smokes. We will meet, or we do meet once a month at Highland Cigar Company in Atlanta for this forum. And people kept coming, you know, month after month saying, you got to put this online. People need to see this. So we decided to pull together 7 people to be a part of this cast for Holy Smoke Cigars and Spirituality, where we just talk about life, faith, and theology. So in this first season, like I said, we did Pandemic Proof Theology. We got some stuff about biblical authority. We got some stuff about, our next episode, Cussing Versus Cursing. I can't wait till we drop that one because a lot of people are very uncomfortable with the use of profanity. Although they use it privately, and we're gonna unpack a whole lot of that.
Okay,
we got stuff coming up about gender of God, so on and so forth. So you definitely want to check it out. You can check it out for free on all podcast platforms. Just look up Holy Smokes Cigars and Spirituality.
I like it. I like it, man. That is a how do you like the podcast? I know you're just jumping into it. How do you like that this side of the game?
It's challenging. I enjoy it. There's just so many moving pieces with such a large cast and doing a visual component. So that's been the most difficult thing to adjust to. But the content creation is, I don't even have to think about that. Like, I got a brilliant cast. We throw out a topic and I literally have to cut people off. Like, all right, y'all, we got to stop because we'll talk about this all day. If I let us. So that part about it has been easy, but you know, just managing the back end production side of it is definitely a challenge when you're doing it at this level, but I enjoy it. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Hey man, congratulations on getting something else off the ground. You have so much going on. I want you guys, if somebody needs to find you, because we could talk, speaking of talking all day, we could talk all day. I'm enjoying this conversation, man. So if they need to find you, what's the website? What's the social media, Instagram and so forth? How could they get to you for anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Christian Smith. It's Christian with a K. So if you look up Christian Smith 02 on Instagram or Twitter, it's KristianTian SMITH02 Instagram, Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. And then for the faith community, look up TFCATL on Instagram. Also thefaithcommunity.org for P Squared. Look up P Squared_Clothiers. And also go to our website. It's P SquaredClothiers.com. Mm-hmm. And then Holy Smoke Cigars and Spirituality, of course, all podcast platforms. And then we're on Instagram at Holy Smokes Movement.
Man, you just gave...
So those are the various
ways. Gave him a lot of homework. You gave him a lot of homework. But hey, man, when I told you, you are a lifestyle. So people need to... It's time to go study. It's time to go study. I believe that these individuals... that I'm talking to, especially this season, are people you should spend the time looking them up and supporting them. So everybody that supports me, please go out there and follow Christian right now. Go ahead and follow him on social media and check him out, man. Spend some money with him and listen to the podcast, and you might just run into him somewhere, especially in a cigar culture. We may run into him somewhere, man. Again, thank you guys for listening to me, JasonCarey.net. Go by JasonCarey.net. There's merchandise out there, t-shirts, mugs, hats, whatever you want. Go on out there. We're going to get some Christian Smith P Squared stuff on the site. We'll talk about that.
Let's do it.
Jason804 on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on Twitter, man. Lover of words. You guys come on out there on Twitter and spend some time out on Twitter. Twitter has done its thing. It's fun. So y'all come out there on Twitter. Also, Saturday nights right now during the pandemic, you can log on and catch the party for those guys that want to party. Then on Sunday morning, go ahead and go to church with Christian at the faith community. See how we gonna do that? We're gonna stay together.
Actually, not. You're gonna catch us on Saturday at 4.
There it is.
That's when we gather. So we don't do any Sunday morning programming. It's Saturday at 4.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we give you like all Saturday morning to do your errands and everything. And then you can get your little worship in at 4. And you still got time to go out Saturday night.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, what he said, the underchurched, and overchurched. You guys know what to do there. Man, we're going to do a part two, man, because I didn't even get into – I had a whole other question or topic. Our jump ball today was supposed to – we were supposed to hit being a black designer and being a business owner. And it was a lot of other things we were just supposed to talk about, but I think we had a wonderful conversation. This is part one. We're going to do a visual one, part two, so we can show our freshness. Let's do that.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Let's do it.
Man, I appreciate you again. We'll talk later, man. This is
man,
Running
thank
the Point
you so much.
With Jason Carey. A few questions. Do you have a website? Do you need a logo? Look, if you don't have a website, you're not in business. Your answer for business imaging is ProWebFirm.net. Call ProWebFirm.net and we will design a custom website and logo for your business. Call us at 770-954-9141. That's 770-954-9141. Or visit us at www.ProWebFirm.net.